He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It's the December 8th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, let's see. Well, it's kind of a mixed market here today. A little bit of a stodgy opening here so far to the market. The Dow down 45, but it's holding on to that 30,000 level. We're 30,037. And again, we hope that that's the new support level for the Dow, 30,000. The floor, it was the ceiling for quite some time, but now maybe it's become the floor. The S&P is down 8 points, 3,683, closing in on 3,700, an all-time highs once again yesterday. Nothing to complain about there over at the S&P. NASDAQ down 20 right now, 12,499. I'm noticing the strength in the market today is in the Chinese stocks. That seemed to be the hot sector so far today, just in my little cursory look through some charts here before the show. Russell 2000 doing well, up 3 points, 0.2%. 1894, closing in on 1900 is the Russell 2000. Crude oil's down 33 cents, 45.43. You know, crude oil seems to be going one way, and electric batteries seem to be going the other way, the positive way these days. Gold up $9 per ounce, starting to boomerang after breaking support last week. A lot of times when they break support, that can be a pretty good buying opportunity. They go out beyond the mean to the downside, and they snap back most of the time. Gold down up $8.90 per ounce. And the 10-year is at 0.90. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, broadcasting from the shores of the Wando River where the, boy, the redfish were going off. I snuck away Saturday morning, late morning, got the newsletter out. Snuck down to my little secret hiding place about 5 minutes maybe by boat from my backyard. And I caught in an hour about 9 redfish, all over 21 inches, on artificial lures, light tackle. What could be more fun? I mean, what a blast that was. Kept 2. I haven't kept many this year, but I did keep 2 for a nice winter redfish dinner. So redfishing is red hot right now here in the Mount Pleasant, Charleston area. Okay, well, yesterday we had a good day in the NASDAQ. We hit a new all-time high yesterday at Gunderson Capital Management. And my team notifies me that they are so busy with appointments right now, but they can squeeze in a few more between now and Christmas. We've had a great year here and looking to continue in 2021, whatever comes our way. If you think back, 2020 was not an easy year to maneuver through. We got hit with something we'd have never guessed back in February of this year in the way of a pandemic. And yet we've had our best year ever. We don't know what next year will bring. There will be plenty of surprises, as always. You can count on that. It's an active world out there, and that's why I'm not a big believer in passive investing. So we had a good day yesterday. Dow down a little bit. NASDAQ was up, I think about 0.5%, and NASDAQ at a new all-time high. I don't see much progress being made in this COVID relief bill. Now they've got a slimmed down version at $908 billion. Maybe that will bring the two sides together. I know there's a lot of people out there that could use a little help, could use a little relief. I know it's not going to be a $4 trillion package that they've been holding out for, but at least we've got maybe a little progress being made there. But I wouldn't hold my breath on that. And I did watch this morning the first person getting vaccinated with Pfizer's vaccine. She keeled over and died shortly thereafter. No, I'm just kidding. So far, so good. No adverse reactions. It's underway in the UK. The Pfizer BioNTech, vaccine coming to a bicep near you. Global stocks mostly down last night. This morning, while you slept, amid surge in COVID-19, that's happening all over the world, not just here in the U.S. Japan down 0.3%. Hong Kong down 0.8%. China down 0.2%. But as I look at the market today and I look at our winners, we have a huge winner today. One of our biggest holdings, one that we wrote up recently for Seeking Alpha. Last time I looked, it's up 9%. That's a big move by a big holding in one of our biggest portfolios. Very happy there. Europe a little dodgy overnight, down 0.5%, as Germany looking to tighten their restrictions to control the spread of coronavirus. Well, we need to get that vaccine deployed, sounds like, as quickly as possible. And, of course, European shares slip. Brexit talks between the UK and EU. How much time have they spent talking about that since it was passed many years ago? They still don't have a deal. Some people just hard to deal with. Is that it? I don't know. The pound weakens for the third day as optimism for a breakthrough in Brexit talks continues to fade. Boris Johnson says mass vaccinations will take time, and we must remain clear-eyed about the challenges that remain, he said in a statement. In the meantime, U.S. Sino relations continue to sour, which they have been for quite some time. Well, you know what? China kind of wants to get away with a lot of things. Japan down a little bit overnight. They're looking for a stimulus deal over there with the U.S. We had a big IPO coming from JD.com, and that might be boosting these Chinese stocks. JD.com spun off their healthcare arm, and it was a very, very successful launch at that. Let's see how JD is doing today. JD.com is down a little bit, down 1.1% so far today. Today is the big vaccine summit at the White House. U.S. hospitals are rushing to firm up plans for deciding which high-priority groups can receive the COVID vaccine first, with initial supplies widely expected to fall short. Well, I would definitely target our older population. They seem to be right in the crosshairs of all of this. Hopefully there's enough to go around. And those that are more prone to coming down with the COVID. December vaccine deliveries are forecast to be only enough for about 20 million people. Well, frontline workers, you would definitely want to take care of them too. According to federal officials, slightly less than 24 million needed to vaccinate all frontline medical professionals and long-term care residents. There you go. There's the two groups. Hopefully we can get them vaccinated between now and the end of the year. In addition to this, President Trump is expected to sign an America First executive order today designed to ensure that U.S. efforts to assist other countries in vaccinating their populations against COVID-19 take on a lower priority than domestic inoculations. Well, it's the vaccine summit today at the White House. It will also feature talks with administration officials and drug distributors who will discuss the process of reviewing vaccine candidates. I wonder if the freezer people will be there. Several stocks involved in that, in the transportation, especially with Pfizer, 94 degrees below zero is what that stuff's got to be transported at and kept at, because you got to come back and get a booster shot, don't forget. It's going to take two shots. Let's see how my CYRX is doing today. That's Cryoport. Well, it's drifting a little higher today. They are involved in cryogenics and cryogenic logistics, which are needed here to get this vaccine distributed. All right, well, when we come back, there is another player in the vaccine race that's breaking out today. And we've got another major call about 2021. This one comes from Wells Fargo. Should we believe what Wells Fargo? How much weight should we give to Wells Fargo? They made an awful lot of missteps over the past several years, but let's see what they've got to say when we come back about 2021. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our Dow down 41 right now at 30,028. S&P down 11 at 3680. And the NASDAQ down 54. So a little bit of a sell-off starting to build in the NASDAQ right now. The NASDAQ right now is at pretty close, still not too far from its all-time high that it set just, yesterday, I want to say. Okay, well, we've got some stocks in the news today. Arcturus Therapeutics, ARCT, they're doing a secondary offering because they're seeing some pretty good preliminary results on their COVID vaccine. Arcturus has been a screamer this year. I do not own it. It was a $12 stock in January. Today it's a $104 stock. ARCT, it's actually down 15% right now on the news that they're doing a secondary offering, which dilutes the other shareholders, but they could be a player. They're manufacturing, working on a lunar COVID-19 vaccine candidate. Here's what Wells Fargo says. The market had its best November ever, and its 10.75% gain was the 10th best monthly performance since World War II. Looking at those top 10 months, 6 and 12 months performances after was higher 9 out of 10 times. In other words, when November is good, in the past, 9 out of 10 times, the stock market is higher 12 months down the road. Well, it's that 1 out of 10 that you got to worry about, Wells Fargo. You never know, because it's lurking out there somewhere. This seems to imply that the sizable one-month return was the result of a fundamentally positive turning point. Okay, they call November a turning point. I call March, late March, a turning point. Wells Fargo comes in 6 months after me, 8 months after me, and says, no, the turning point is in November. What do they think is creating this turning point? The vaccine. They say while the pandemic will likely get worse before it improves and volatility could arise if any stimulus deal fails to stave off bankruptcies, investors should look to more excess cash into a globally diversified portfolio, Wells Fargo says. Our strategy for our 2021 model portfolio. Now, I can't wait to see Wells Fargo's model portfolio for 2021. Here's their strategy. It's to add stocks to the portfolio on every market pullback. We are not bottom fishers, but we do like bargains in the beaten down coronavirus stocks. Okay, so they're going to go in that direction. That's not a direction I favor. Because the coronavirus stocks, restaurants, cruise ships, airlines, oil and gas related stock, they weren't good stocks before the coronavirus. And yes, they did get beat up in February and March, but they've come roaring back and they've gone beyond any measure of valuation in my mind. They've been chased by the so-called Robin Hood crowd. So that wouldn't be my strategy, but to each his own. That's what Wells Fargo's calling for. Call them bullish on 2021. Goldman or China news. Goldman Sachs is going all in China. Can we trust China? Goldman Sachs applies to take full control of securities in their joint venture in China. You got to wonder what China wants in return. Do they want the, you know, the personal data of all of the shareholders that are invested in this joint venture? I don't know. But New York-based Goldman Sachs, they'll be the first bank, U.S. bank, in China. They're applying with China regulators to take full control of their joint venture. 100% ownership of Wells Fargo or of Goldman Sachs on the mainland represents a significant commitment to an investment in China, says CEO David Solomon. Well, that's interesting. We'll see how that plays out. In the meantime, the spat between the U.S. and China continues. Oh, I think it will for a long, long time. TripAdvisor is one of the 105 apps in the latest wave of app store bans from the Cyberspace Administration of China. You know, I use TripAdvisor. I've never found it to be too subversive of any kind. China finds it subversive. The authorities say the banned app violate at least one of three cyber laws. Okay, their cyber laws are, one, pornography. I haven't seen that on TripAdvisor. Number two, gambling. Can you gamble on TripAdvisor? And number three, violence. Well, I just see restaurants and hotels and waterfalls and whatnot on TripAdvisor, but TripAdvisor's app has been banned by the Cyberspace Administration of China. In the meantime, TikTok's going to remain out there so far. Tried to get that one, with a joint venture partner here in the U.S., but right now TikTok, the stock that keeps on ticking. Are retail investors changing the nature of the market? You know, I've given this a lot of thought. I think the times that we're seeing right now in the market are very reminiscent of the year 2000. And I would say that in the year 2000, the individual investor became a major player in the market. Boy, I remember doing workshops in 2000, and I'd have 500 or 600 people showing up. And I was charging $30, $40 per person. They were beauticians, plumbers, barbers, gardeners. They came from all walks of life. They wanted in on the dot-com stocks, the revolution that was taking place called the Internet. And we know how that ended in 2000, in March of 2000, to be exact. Well, we're seeing a market today that, according to the experts, 20% of the stock market activity on average, and almost one quarter of the percent of volume on peak days is the individual retail investor. What has brought them back into the market in a big way? Well, I would say zero trade costs, $0 trades, trading online from your iPhone on Robinhood. And it is having a big impact on the market. In many ways, the retail investor has become a more powerful collective force than the professional investor. Well, whatever. And they simply don't care about the same things as the experts. In fact, individual investors now account, 20%. What don't they care about? Well, from my perspective, the things that the individual investor today are overlooking are the same things that the individual investor of the year 2000 are overlooking. I would sum it up with one word, valuation. I think they're completely ignoring valuation and throwing valuation out the window as it relates to price to earnings, price to sales, price to cash flow. And I think the prime example poster child of that would be Tesla. So there. That's what I think. I was around in 2000, and now here we are 20 years later. Are we going to repeat the same mistake we made in 2000? Throwing valuation out the window. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. The market continues to improve here, at least the Dow. It's only down 16 right now and staying well above 30,000, 56 points above that level. The S&P's down just 6 right now, and the NASDAQ still stumbling around, stumbling and bumbling, down 41 points right now. What's riskier, being the first one to take the COVID Pfizer vaccine into your arm? Miss Guinea Pig, I guess. Well, she's a brave woman. I guess they've done the work, the homework. They know it's going to work. No adverse effect. Or getting on a Boeing 737 MAX. The first Boeing 737 MAX passenger flight to start Wednesday will be at Brazil. In Brazil with Gol Linhas Aéreas Airlines. That's G-O-L. They'll be the first airline in the world to resume regular flights with the boat. Maybe she should now get on a boat and just show us how brave she is to get a vaccine shot and then step on a Boeing 737. Anyways, watch her trip coming down the stairs. Anyways, it's back up in the air, and Boeing stock has actually been doing quite well recently. If you look at all those stumbles that the market made back in January of this year, let's not leave Boeing out of that. Boeing was an unexpected big problem, a big member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The stock got as high as $446 last year, $446, and it got as low as $89. Now, when a member of the Dow goes from 446 to 89 in a matter of about 6 to 9 months, that has a major impact on your index. And then it gets broadsided, run over again by a truck with COVID-19 pandemic, and basically the whole transportation airline industry coming to a screeching halt. Well, Boeing has now climbed its way back to $237 per share, and right now it's smacking its head right on resistance, very stiff resistance level. We'll see if the Boeing stock can break through there. Big milestone, though, coming tomorrow when the 737 MAX back in the skies in Brazil. Global hiring improves quarter over quarter in 32 markets. Well, that's good news. Singapore, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Switzerland, France, Japan, Turkey, Slovakia, Czech Republic. Employers in Europe are the least optimistic about a return to pre-pandemic hiring levels. This is according to Manpower. Jonas Priesing, Manpower's chairman and CEO. So things looking up. Well, you know, those initial jobless claims have been dropping. I think we're at 700,000 now, the low 700,000s. The unemployment rate's been dropping. But at the same time, COVID's been rising. So we've got a couple of opposing forces at work right now. Now, here's your biotech of the day, Curis. Curis skyrockets 141% on encouraging data in their leukemia drug. Wouldn't that be something to make some massive progress there? CRIS is the stock. Look at that. I just said it was up 141%. It's up 343% right now. It's a very small micro-cap company headquartered in Lexington, Massachusetts. $366 million in market capitalization, micro-cap, basically kind of an unheard-of company until today, up 341%. They are seeing encouraging results in their leukemia CA4948 drug, symbol CRIS. Has anybody been watching the genomics revolution? I've been watching it from my office chair here on my screen loaded with stock charts. Yesterday, these genomics stocks were flying higher. Last week, I featured an ETF, ARKG, that invests in companies that are centered around the genomics revolution. Today, we've got some more winners in that group. I noticed Twist this morning, TWST. Twist Biosciences breaking out to a new all-time high today. A-plus momentum grade in the app. I don't own it. And I'm seeing Editas, which is a competitor to CRISPR, CRISP, C-R-S-P. Editas is breaking out yesterday and following through today. They're another one that edits genes in the test tube and then puts them back in your body. They're making progress in that area. There's several players, and there's also an ETF, ARKG, that covers that space. Would you pay $549 for some AirPods over the ear? Okay, these are headphones. They don't go in your ear. They go over your ears. Nice and comfy. Got the Apple logo on them and all. $549 just in time for Christmas. Pre-orders start today. Apple launches $549 over-ear AirPods. Well, you know, I'm happy with my $39 Walmart earphones. Wireless they are. But good luck to Apple. Apple is also going to enter Peloton space. And I suppose you could say Lululemon space with the workout subscription. The exercise industry is on watch today after Apple announces details on its Fitness Plus subscription service built around the Apple Watch, which launches on December 14th. Well, their timing is good. You've still got the gyms closed down for the most part. Peloton stock has cooled off quite a bit. Maybe Apple should have come to market a little bit sooner with this. How much is it going to cost you? The same as a Best Stocks Now app subscription, $9.99 per month. Won't make you money, though, like the app will, but maybe take off a few pounds. Or $79.99 per year. That is Apple Fitness taking on Peloton, Fitbit, Lululemon, and, of course, invading Planet Fitness and Nautilus space. Well, yesterday I talked about Tesla's robo-taxis and wanting to get into the ride-hail business. Uber's getting out of that business. They're selling their self-driving vehicle unit to guess who? What company out there is called the Everything Stock? They want to be in everything. They recently opened up their Amazon pharmacy. Well, Uber is selling their self-driving vehicle unit to Amazon. What else isn't Amazon into these days? Tesla's doing a $5 billion offering in an at-the-market offering. Raise $5 billion, you know, goes right into their cash register. That's good. You want to beef that up when the going is good. It's being called a smart move by Wedbush Securities. Let's see how Tesla. You know, Tesla broke through 600 yesterday. Like it was nothing. It struggled with it for 1 week. $600 per share. Yesterday, it blasted through $600 per share. Tesla decided to do a 5 $1 billion at the market stock offering, and the stock is down 2.3% today. Tesla's clear back to a $592 billion company. By contrast, Ford is a $37 billion company. Did Ford miss an opportunity there in the electric vehicle space, the luxury electric vehicle space? And that space continues to be red hot. I'm seeing a lot of these EV stocks from China. They're doing quite well today. Kandi, Li Auto, Boyd, etc. And, of course, there's a lot of players. The latest one is QuantumScape, QS. This was a SPAC, an SPAC. They changed their symbol. Now it's QS. Put it on your LIDAR or your radar. QS makes electric solid-state batteries. Okay, that's a little different animal. The stock is flying today. QS. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Well, look at that. The Dow just went positive. It's up 12 points now, and the NASDAQ's down just 22 points. So getting a little bit of traction here in the market. Looks like the Chinese stocks, to me, are the leaders here so far today. There's been three sectors that have really been red hot here recently. I would call the hottest sector in the market, number one, electric vehicle. Anything related to electric vehicle, lithium, batteries, autonomous technology, etc. I would call the number two sector in the market, well, actually there's four. Number two would probably be anything related to Bitcoin. Okay, we're obviously in the more speculative area of the market, which I think is indicative of a lot of individual investors' involvement in the market these days. They seem to be chasing the more speculative stocks. We'll see how long it lasts. I would say the third sector right now would be the genomics sector, and the fourth sector would be a good old standby. One that's been very good to me over the last 20 years, off and on, the semiconductor sector. The semiconductor sector has been very good here recently, and we own quite a few semiconductor stocks. Now, as it relates to dividend-paying stocks, you should know my position on that by now. I don't chase IBM that's got a big fat dividend, or AT&T or Exxon, and the reason I don't is because they're not growing their earnings. They're static companies, and that's all they really offer is the dividend. Without growth in earnings, it's hard to get capital appreciation. I prefer total return. So I like companies that are paying a dividend for that part of my portfolio, along with companies that are still growing. One that fits that, one that I've owned off and on over the years, and one that I currently own in my dividend portfolio, is Broadcom. Now, Broadcom basically is headquartered in Singapore. However, they bought out a company here in the U.S. called Broadcom, which is headquartered in the California, Southern California area, actually. And they changed their name from Avago Technologies to Broadcom. But the symbol still reflects the old days. The symbol is AVGO. They're a designer of analog ICs for telecom, industrial, automotive, and computing markets. Very well diversified is Broadcom. In addition to that, they pay a dividend yield of 3.1%. Oh, I know. You can get a higher dividend in IBM or AT&T or ExxonMobil. But have they been growing their earnings over the past 5 years by 24% per year? I doubt it. I know for a fact that they haven't. Broadcom has been growing their earnings. And even though it's cooled off a little bit lately, over the next 5 years, AVGO, or Broadcom, they're expected to continue to grow by about 12 to 13% per year, which isn't bad. That's not bad for a company that is $170 billion in market capitalization. It's a mega cap stocks. That's also been a leading area of the market, although it has cooled off here recently. It hasn't really been the FANG stocks that have been leading the market over the last month or two. It's been more of the speculative area of the market. It goes back and forth. It changes around from time to time. But Broadcom hit a new all-time high yesterday. You got to like that. Broadcom has been a great performer over the years as it relates to performance. It currently has a momentum grade of A. And when I do my five-year valuation work on Broadcom, AVGO, I come up with a $674 target price. That stock is currently trading at $421. That gives it, along with the dividend return, 84% upside potential. So it meets, I like 80% or more upside potential over the next 5 years. And it does meet that. And it also meets my performance criteria. So when I add those two together, it comes in at number 236 overall rank out of 5,541 stocks in the www.beststocksnowapp.com database, which currently has 5,541 in it. And that's a combination of ETFs, mutual funds, and stocks. How does your stock or your stocks, how do they rank? How do they stack up? Well, you can look them up in the app. You can grade your own portfolio. I like to stick within the top 300 or 400 when I buy stocks because my whole strategy is to put the best players on the field in any given category, whether it be great big large cap growth stocks, a little emerging growth, AA baseball players, or whether it be the dividend payers. And right now, Broadcom fits. So it's one of the players on my roster of the dividend and growth portfolio, which is one of the portfolios that we offer. That one is appropriate for a little bit more of the older, more conservative investor. But, of course, we can throw a little bit of spice in there if you want. That's what my advisors do. They assess your current situation, your risk tolerance, and put together a custom mix from amongst the portfolios that we offer for you. What could be easier? And I'm the guy, along with help from my team, that meticulously manages this every single day. Markets open, you know where I am. I'm in front of my computer before the market, so after the market's open. And I want to do my best to own the best. That's the bottom line. If you'd like to talk to us, you can call our toll-free number nationwide, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And you could just sample the newsletter to check up on what I'm saying here. Okay, what does he own? What kind of stock? What stocks does he own in that dividend? How has it done? And this kind of thing. I publish it every week in the newsletter, the client/live trading version of the newsletter, which you can get for 2 weeks to sample. You go to my website at GundersonCapital.com or give us a call at 855-611-BEST. We'll take good care of you the best that we possibly can. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.